Welcome to Women in WordPress, a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community. Welcome to episode 2 of Women in WordPress. I'm Amy Masson.
And I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Tracy Epps.
And today we have our very first guest, Tara Clays, owner of Design TLC, who builds custom websites for small businesses specializing in websites for schools and kids camps and Yay. Programs for nonprofits. Thank you for being here today, Tara.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I'm super honored to be your second episode person. So thanks so much. I know I have watched you since your very first tweet about this, and we've talked about it. So it's really cool to see that you brought it to life.
Congrats. Yeah. Well, you were one of the people I talked to about at WordCamp US about this whole idea. So thank you for supporting us. So I want to ask, my first question is, what was your path, your journey to WordPress?
So like probably I listened to your stories last week and found them super interesting. And, you know, I talked to a lot of WordPress people on my podcast. And so similarly, not a direct route. I was a communications and fine arts major in college and worked in the advertising industry before computers were a thing, before cell phones were a thing. So I did that for a good bit, and then I had kids. And similar to you, Amy, I, you know, really focused on being a mom. So I did not go back to my job that I had at MCI, where I was doing direct mail marketing, which was one of the more boring things you could ever do. And so was really happy to be able to stay home with my kids. My husband traveled a lot. And so I did that. But while I did that, I was encouraged by my boss to start a little hobby business. I was did a little illustration. And so I started networking with other moms at play groups and things like that, and started selling my artwork. And then the computers started being used and printers. And so I started making stationery, and it sort of spun and evolved. And some of the people who bought my stationery happened to have small businesses, and I had built a website on FrontPage. So they had me build websites. And so I started doing that. And then I got really sick of making thousands of Christmas cards and ruining my holidays and having reams of paper and ink cartridges in my home. So I did everything in my home office. I had a huge commercial cutter and everything. And it was really fun. And then tiny prints also came along, and it was kind of, you know, like, well, my lines aren't cut really straight, and then, you know, I'm using just kind of amateur equipment. So I gave up the paper and decided to focus on digital graphic design and websites. And somebody mentioned WordPress to me, and so I decided to figure it out. And so I did. And also similar to you, didn't know there was a WordPress community or anything. I happened upon it really by complete accident. And my first WordCamp was in Baltimore. I think it was 2013. And just by happenstance, Chris Lomo was the keynote speaker. And I did not know who he was, but I remembered maybe having seen him on like a blog post that I had read or something. And so I sat down at lunch, and he was at my table. It was just me and him and Shay Box, who I also had no idea who she was. And she was very humble and introduced herself. And then it came out that she had like the biggest selling theme in Genesis. And so I had never even heard of Genesis. So from there, I kind of started using Genesis and became addicted to the WordCamp community and WordPress in general, and got Twitter at that. I never had Twitter before that. And so, I think Twitter also was a big part of my evolution as a WordPress person, because you learn so much through Twitter. So that's my story.
I find it really interesting that your first WordCamp was 2013, and so was mine. And the keynote speaker at the one I went to was Chris Lemma.
Ah, did you sit with him at lunch?
I didn't. No, no, I didn't talk to anybody because I was terrified that people would realize that I had no idea what I was doing and I shouldn't be there. So no, I didn't talk to people. No.
Yeah, it was great. I'm grateful for that first experience. When I was starting to learn WordPress, I had also been using Dreamweaver a little bit. And I remember this guy that I found online. I was trying to learn CSS a little bit, and I didn't know really about the inspector, which is funny because now I have given talks at WordCamps about using the inspector. But I found this guy online. His website was, and it probably still exists, it's like askbrian.com. And he was not a WordPress person at all. He was an Adobe person. And I think maybe he was mostly Adobe. Anyway, he like you could pay him like $75 or something like that for a month, and you could ask him as many questions as you wanted. And so I would be building a website and would have no idea, like, why isn't this link turning this color? Because I didn't know how to figure it out. I didn't know what the inspector was. I was just trying to. So he'd like shoot an email back to me right away and tell me exactly where to go to fix it. And I was thinking, how did he know how to do that so fast? He's so smart. And then finally I found the inspector, and then I realized you could actually edit in the inspector and try things out. And so, So Ask Brian was my real entry into learning how to code, but it was not WordPress related or even the right way to learn, but it worked for me.
Oh, I don't know if there's a wrong way and a right way to learn. I think we all have our paths that take us to a similar destination.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I definitely could have done it in a more direct route that would have saved me time and taught me better practices.
Well, couldn't we all?
Yes. Yeah. That's true. I wish that they would have had computer science when I was in college. They hardly had computers, but.
Right. Yeah. I was in the 80s and we did have computers, but they were dual disk floppy drives. So
yes. Yeah. We had a Mac.
There was not even a browser back then.
Right.
there was no internet.
That's right.
There was no such thing as inspecting.
My freshman year of college, they were talking about Mosaic. If that will ring any bells, was like the very first web browser. So we quickly moved into Netscape, but so maybe not as far back as some of you, but
My ad agency, we pitched America Online because they were headquartered here in Northern Virginia where I live. And we had to figure out what that was. What's email? We didn't know that was like a foreign thing. And we didn't get the account, unfortunately, but we did pitch them. So.
Well, I think it's fascinating that you went to your first WordCamp in 2013, which it seems like yesterday, but that was actually 6 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
But now you're leading meetup groups, you have your Slack community, you talk at WordCamps. Like, talk about like what prompted you to get so out there and why are you leading a meetup and what impact has that had on you? What impact do you feel like you've had on others, particularly as a woman in that space?
Yeah, that's a good question. I suppose I've always been somebody who likes to lead things, and I really love connecting people. We have a really big and successful meetup in DC, and I started going to that around the same time I started going to WordCamps, and I would go every single month. And there was a guy there who was really gung-ho, and he was very encouraging, and I hardly knew what I was doing, but he encouraged me to give a talk, like a lightning talk. And so I did that, and I found it gave me an excuse to learn something better. So I really enjoyed the experience of being forced to learn something. And I just became more of a sort of a fixture at that meetup. But it's in the city, which in DC, Washington, DC is a very accessible city. It's especially, I live very close to it, like just 8 miles away. I can get down there pretty quickly. But if you live a little bit farther out in the suburbs in Maryland or in Virginia, it's a hassle to get down there. And it's a little intimidating if you're not that familiar with it. And I also really wanted to be an organizer, and they were full up on their organizing committee. They didn't really need more people. They have a very established group of organizers there. And so I decided to start my own. It was at another WordCamp, and I heard Liam Dempsey ironically talking about a meetup that he does outside of Philly. And I was sitting there at that WordCamp in the audience, and on my phone, I made a meetup just right there. And I was just kind of toying with the idea of whether to make it my own, you know, whether to apply for the chapter, whatever designation, or to just do it on my own. So I did it on my own for a bit and had to find a place, and had two people come, and you know, it was kind of pathetic. And then I approached the DC organizers and asked if they would allow me to become part of their chapter, because there are a lot of other cities. I mean, Washington, DC is a big city, and the meetup is big, and it's the only one per month. And I thought people might really appreciate having another option. So that's sort of where that came from. So we agreed, and I'm now part of the DC meetup, which the benefit of that is that now our meetups show up in the WordPress dashboard. So our attendance has really gone up and broadened. And I have just as many people coming from Maryland as I do from Virginia, and people come a long way for them, but we have, you know, probably a maximum 25 to 30 people at each of our meetups, whereas DC is more like 50 or more. And DC is sponsored by an agency, so they have free pizza and beer, and there's, you know, it's easy to go there. But I don't know if you guys, if you organize meetups, but when you don't charge for them and they're free, the rate of attendance versus the RSVP number is really, it's very hard to guess. And it's usually 50% or less. So,
wow.
So,
and mine, yeah, mine's a little different because I do have about 50 people, 40 to 50 people that come each month. And we seem to get maybe a few people don't show up, but we typically have most people show up.
Yeah. So,
and we do have
50 people each time.
About, yeah.
Yeah. And you're a chapter.
No, we're our own meetup in Boulder. Just a, not a big town.
Right, right.
But a lot of motivated
people. What's the population of Boulder?
It's like 80,000, including the students.
Okay. Yeah. And how long have you been doing it?
A friend of mine started it 5 years ago, and then I took it over a year ago. So when she was doing it, there weren't as many people. But since I took it over, we have a full room. We have to move tables and chairs and pack it tight.
Where do you hold it?
I hold it where I teach. So we have a classroom that seats 32, but we move the tables around so we can get 50 in there.
Okay.
So we have a good turnout. And then I do a developers meetup as well, but that usually only has maybe 15 to 20.
That's still really good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're kind of a tech center in Boulder, so that might be kind of it. You know, we have a lot of tech industry, but it's not like DC.
Right.
I think people are just so hungry for information. Like what do you feel like in terms of your audience participation, like how many men versus women come and what kind of skill levels do you feel like are coming to your meetups and what impact do you feel like that has, like on, especially on like other women attendees, do you feel like that they're getting something out of it in the same way that you have when you kind of connected in with the community?
Yeah, I think it's pretty frequently beginners, most of the people that attend this meetup. The one in DC, I would say, has more developers. And Washington also is not a really huge WordPress using community. There are a lot of developers here, and there's a lot of Drupal and Ruby on Rails stuff and that type of thing. There are some active meetup communities for those things as well. And those are mostly men. So there's been a huge range, I think. The first few meetups, it seemed like it was all older, retired men who were just trying to, you know, just have a hobby, and they would want to sit and talk and ask a million questions, like the thing's over and they're trying to, you know, basically build their website there. And, but we've had a good range. I think it's probably about half and half men and women.
Cool.
Wow. And a pretty broad age range as well. There've been some older women, I'd say even in their 70s attending, and then a couple of younger women too. There's one who has come for a long time to my particular meetup, and I've gotten to know her well and sort of mentored her a little bit as she's been learning more. So there's an opportunity to meet people when they come back, and there are a few who do repeat. But I think a lot of times, especially since it's showing up in the dashboard, people come based on what the topic is.
Oh,
so we try to have beginner-oriented topics at this one. And you know, it's sometimes hard to find people to speak. So this next one, next week, I'm just doing a question and answer. I used to do a happiness bar, which is what they call it in DC. Mm-hmm. But I had one experience where one of the people who was helping someone broke the site. And I kind of felt bad, you know, offering people to get help when we don't really vet that in this. I mean, at WordCamps, I don't really think they do either, but you know, there's an assumption that people who volunteer know what they're doing and would make a backup or something like that. But at a little meetup, we don't necessarily do that, nor do I want to be liable for that. So so I'm just doing a question and answer because people always have a million questions, you know, how do you back up your site or whatever, instead of one topic that we focus on. So, yeah. And you said you have food at yours?
Well, at one of them.
Okay.
So we have a plugin sponsor and a hosting sponsor. So we just have pizza.
That's good.
So we kind of differentiate.
You have to order it and guess how much to buy and take care of the leftovers.
My only goal is that the pizza all gets eaten. So if the pizza all gets eaten, I've done my job right.
Yeah.
My WordPress meetup goal, eat pizza.
Mm-hmm. Eat pizza.
Like it's basically like college groups on campus. There's free pizza.
But we'll
come to this. I don't care what it is. I'm going for the free pizza.
Exactly. Well, we have a joke in Boulder now. It's because there's two meetups. One's more advanced and one's, you know, more the beginner. So we say, you know, when it's the advanced group, we're like, this is not the pizza meetup. If you want the beginner stuff, you got to come to the pizza meetup. So it's not like beginner and developer. It's like the pizza meetup and the non-pizza meetup.
That's hilarious.
So my area doesn't have a WordPress meetup. So I'm curious, like when you go to one or when you're running one, what are the typical topics on a more advanced meetup?
Oh gosh, at the DC, there have been things that are way over my head. They do some, what is it called? There's one that's named after a drink, like bourbon or something.
Oh right? Yeah, bourbon.
then there's the box, something about a box. I don't even know what that is. And there are a couple guys here who run something. It's like the, I don't know, Tracy, you're more developer. You can probably tell me the answer to this. There's something that has, it has a V in it and it's like a virtual.
Vagrant.
Yes. Vagrant. Thank you. I just haven't even thought about those things for so long that I haven't heard about them either. And then there was a guy who did a talk on this sort of system that's built. It's outside of WordPress, but it works with WordPress. And if I think of the name, I'll send it to you so you can put it in the show notes. But it has something to do with like forest or trees. You see how things stick in my head? I'm old. I'm old.
It is. Well, that's called good marketing if you can get that.
Right, that's right. There's.
Are you thinking of roots and sage?
No, it's, no, I'm not. No, not the frame. That.
Yeah.
No.
I liked those.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're so curious about that now. What has to do with the forest and the trees?
I'll have to find out the name of it.
Or we just make up a new one and call it trees.
Yes, we could.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
Problem solvers.
So, speaking of like all the, like the technical side of things, yes, you came from front page. So how did you get from like the front page? Like how was like your process of learning the WordPress stuff and then learning it enough to be able to just be able to run an agency to be able to do this for clients? Cause that's a huge accomplishment.
Thanks. I'm still learning as we all are. And it makes me nervous sometimes when I think about what I don't know, but paying a lot of attention to what's out there, what's on Twitter. I mean, Carrie Dill's podcast that she used to have that was live and you could ask questions. And so I met people through there and learned through that and connected with people who taught me, Devinder specifically, if you know him, he was a big Genesis developer and started using Beaver Builder. So kind of held my hand through that process. So I'm a one-on-one kind of learner. I'm not really great at sitting with a video for all day or reading books. I really am hands-on and I learn as I have the need to learn. So I have to figure out how to change the CSS. I'll figure out how to change that CSS or do that thing rather than learn the whole entire concept, which is not really the best way to learn, but it kind of, you know, you chip away at it and then the pieces all kind of fit together and make sense. So what I've learned over the past couple of years is that I don't have to be a high level developer. And at my age and at this point in my career and my business, I don't need to do that. I know people who can help me with that and who can do that if I need it, especially with page builders and the type of sites that I build. They're not reliant on a lot of custom code beyond CSS, really, and a few functions files.
I love that you made that point about, you know, knowing that you don't have to learn everything, because I remember being at the WordCamp US during the State of the Word where we were told to learn JavaScript deeply. Yes. And I went home from that and I'm like, okay, I'm going to learn JavaScript. Oh, and, you know, so I started signing up and trying to learn it. I'm like, you know, maybe Maybe it's just too late. I mean, I started in BASIC, B-A-S-I-C, basic programming, and I could still write some BASIC today, but maybe my brain just can't wrap itself around JavaScript. But I do have, you know, the company at the point is where I can hire somebody to write JavaScript for me. So I don't actually have to learn it. And I'm glad to see that I'm not the only one that is not learning JavaScript deeply.
Oh. Yeah. And I don't even know how I would use it, really. I haven't had a need for it for the type of sites that I'm building. And I may at some point need that. I certainly have had some developers build some custom things for me that are really great. But, you know, I wouldn't say that that's happened more than a couple of times. So if I were to grow my agency to try to tackle and take on clients that needed that, then certainly I would want to have somebody on my team, but I still wouldn't at this point feel the need to learn it because I don't have enough time or brain power to take that on, I think.
Well, and I think we're going to see, I mean, I think the context of that, you know, wow, it's a little bit future, but a little bit more immediate context would be with Gutenberg blocks and being able to create those. But I think there's a lot of tools coming out now to make that easier, like Advanced Custom Fields Pro, the paid version. There is a way that you can build Gutenberg blocks using Advanced Custom Fields. And it doesn't require the JavaScript. It's more, you have to put some functions in your functions file, which they provide, but you know, you just mostly have to know the HTML and CSS to get it formatted. And it's so funny because someone on Twitter was saying, you know, I'm making these Gutenberg blocks and like, you know, yeah, I think I'm supposed to be this heavy duty programmer, but why am I spending like 90 or 80% of my time just working with CSS? And it's like, yeah, that's probably what Gutenberg blocks comes down to is a lot of CSS.
Yeah. That's mostly what I do too, I think.
Well, and I really liked your comment about the kind of clients you work with, because I notice a lot of times I go to WordCamps and, you know, the speakers are talking about their, you know, all enterprise level clients and their $20,000 and $30,000 jobs. And, you know, sometimes I sit there and wonder, you know, am I not supposed to be doing these smaller businesses, websites that don't have $20,000 budgets? I feel like maybe there is a market for the kind of websites that we're doing, or at least, you know, I can't speak for everybody on this panel, but that doesn't require that you know JavaScript deeply or that you know all of the codes everywhere.
Right. And what's the return on your investment in time or in money to learn it when you have, when you're running a small agency and it's you and maybe one or two other people helping you? You know, if I were to spend the time and money to learn JavaScript deeply, I don't think I would ever get that back. Whereas if I'm to spend time learning SEO, absolutely, I can charge my clients for that because every website needs it and should use it. So that's where I'd rather spend my effort as a business owner and as a marketer is that type of thing. So, yeah.
What is your favorite part of the process with client work and with all your clients?
I like doing it all. And I mean, that's not what you're not supposed to do it all. There are certain things that I don't really like, but I'm a really organized, process oriented person. So I love setting up the processes. I love the design, although I'm very imposter syndrome-y about my design. I didn't go to design school, but I have design skills and sensibilities, not as excellent as my business partner who did go to design school and can help me sometimes when I'm working on projects without her. But, I love building the sites. I love seeing, Amy and I have talked about this, you know, there's some great satisfaction in taking something that's in its design phase and making it happen on the web. It's just a really cool feeling to accomplish that. And especially as you learn and you get better at it and you can do it faster and you know the answers. I love solving problems when a client has an issue. I love being able to solve it quickly. And so I'm trying to be better at delegating and not trying to be, you know, whatever it is, the master of none. But I think that for the type of work that I do, it works okay to be good enough at everything I'm doing and know what I don't know.
It's funny because I always get the same question a lot of times and I have the same answer. I'm like, the whole process of it. And I remember when I was in college and I was taking some graphic design classes, I got downgraded all the time because I didn't have a focus. I didn't focus on one thing, but I was like, I want to take photography because that can also help with this like communications and client work and learning web development and teaching that and learning the design and all of that stuff. And I was like, but it's the whole package because then you can solve the problem with all of the different pieces. So I really appreciate that aspect of things.
Yeah, I think it's important to know how to do it all well enough also, because sometimes you have to and sometimes you don't. But I think it's good to be able to understand how all the pieces work together and in order to be able to delegate too.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, what, and oh, sorry. Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, there's something to be said about the business of running an agency versus just being able to build websites too. And I think a lot of people miss that element, that if you're not good at business or willing to learn how to be good at business, then even though you might be a great developer or a great designer, you might not be successful.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true.
And I've known people that were developers and really struggled to, I can't find anybody to hire me. I'm going to start going to these restaurants and offering my services for free because they need new websites. But, they didn't have the business part down and their pitch was not very well received.
That's something great about the WordPress community, I think, is that there are so many people who are learning, are really good at running a business and have figured it out. So it's fun to share your ideas and learn from other people on how to do that. Not just the coding, but so many of us are entrepreneurial and work for ourselves or have worked for ourselves. Maybe now, you've taken a job somewhere and you're trying out different things, but it's really helpful. I don't think I would be doing this still if I hadn't met so many great people who've become friends and who share the same challenges and victories that I share, and you guys probably too, that we do. So, and I, this is a women focused podcast, and I was thinking about that a lot today as I was thinking about joining you guys. And I think I'm old fashioned compared to a lot of people probably in our WordPress space. I'm older, but I also was a stay at home mom. And so my world, it's been a long time since I've worked with men, in an office environment or anything like that. And I, even before I left my jobs, I had really awesome women bosses and a couple of really awful male bosses. And so, I've always been really comfortable with women, working with women, and not that I'm not comfortable working with men, but I just gravitate toward women. I think I relate to them better and just really enjoy sharing all of what life has, not just business, but motherhood and all of that too. So for me in the WordPress space, finding a community of women has been invaluable to me. And some women like Amy, and Angela too, I heard your story, who have raised children and or are raising children and know what that's like. So that's my little spiel about that. But I'm very grateful. And I've met amazing men in the WordPress space too. And I find the WordPress space to be very welcoming to all genders. And I really am glad to be part of the community for that reason too. So the men in the WordPress space are so inclusive that it's a joy to work with them too. So yeah, it's a great place to be.
I would just, so as that person who you're building these sites for schools, right? Is it elementary schools? And my question around that is just, you're talking about sharing, how we share. We're right. All about sharing our tips and our expertise, and you like doing that. For other people who are working with organizations that work with children and build school sites, what would be your top tip for them in building successful websites for that space?
That's a really interesting question. This is a new thing for
that
me,
might be though. A big conversation. So,
no, well, and I don't know if I really have the right answer or an answer for it because it's pretty new to me, but I have followed Sarah Dunn for a while, and she's a friend as well. And she's really had this, she's really taken on the mantle of specialization and having a niche. And I fought against that and kind of, because I really have never marketed my business, and I would take whatever kind of came my way. And it just happened to come my way at the right time. Just, it's always been very fortuitous to have new clients referred to me, and whatever they do, you know, any range of things, not as many as Amy and not as many, you know, strange magicians and mind readers, but, but, you know, a variety of clients. And after doing that for a number of years, and last year kind of having maybe a few bad experiences with clients, and realizing where my strengths lie and thinking about my goals and all of those things, when I turned 50, I decided I really was going to kind of look at my life and see what I wanted it to be about. And so I really wanted to work on sites that I enjoyed working on. And when I looked at my portfolio and listed the clients that I enjoyed the most and the websites I enjoyed the most, they were all child focused. And I think it's been a while since I had little kids, but I just have that sensibility, I think. And so for me to work on content that I enjoy working with makes me do a better job. So I decided that I was going to try to focus on that and actually go out and try to win some clients in that niche. So we'll see how that goes. I did just sign a client in the niche, so that's pretty exciting. But in terms of like what makes it successful or not successful, it's the same as any other website. It has to be, you know, all of the things that we know about having a usable website, having it load quickly, all of those things, and having the messaging be good. And for these sites, what's really fun is that usually the images are awesome. You know, you get these great photographs of cute kids doing things, learning, that kind of thing is fun to work with. Much more fun than, you know, the financial advisor or the accountant website, which you have to get some kind of an image at the, you know, at the top, because every website has an image at the top, and what are you going to use?
And a stock photo.
Yeah, you find a stock photo of people in an office or, you know, something like that. And then you pick, you can look at 100 of them and it's still not the one that the client likes. And then they decide they want a picture of trees or something. And so I've kind of just decided that I can at this point be choosier about the content that I work with. And that's not to say I wouldn't do anything else, but I am labeling myself as that and going out and trying to get some business in that niche, because I think I'm good at it. The sites I've built are my favorite. And so that's that.
I think that's such something to say about like I'm the same way. I have to do something I believe in, or else I'm like at it. I'm like, who did that? Like, that's, yeah. I don't know. But like, I did a site for service dogs, nonprofit. Oh,
love that.
Everything, yeah. I designed was so beautiful, yeah. Because there were cute dogs everywhere. Oh, yeah, so it was fun. So cute. I was like, you, yeah, can't design bad when you have really good photos like that.
That's and, right. I think the projects come out better if you care about the content. Now, let me ask you this. I know we're getting close to time, but when it comes to taking, like turning down the jobs that aren't in your niche or that you're not, that aren't sparking joy, I find, mm-hmm, as a woman and as somebody that's a people pleaser, I really struggle to say no and to, yeah, like not help people. Is that, do you guys experience that too?
Yeah, I just actually had a really bad experience because I have people write to me on my website like every day wanting me to build their site. So I said no to someone. I said, but I could see if anyone in my space, my group, I have this group, and I'm like, as one of my group members, so I had to take it on, and the guy ended up being a scammer. And,
oh, no.
And so now, oh, wow, I'm like, I'm going to just say no. I'm, yeah, busy. And then unless it's a referral or something, but what's your experience with saying
no? I have not said no all that often. And usually it's because the budget is too low. And then I will find somebody else who might like to do the job. I have fired a couple of clients who were not being nice, and that's not easy to do either. And then I just had an experience where in my cold calling, I had a potential client who, you know, I would just love to work on it. I mean, it was just be so much fun. And he was a great guy, really fun. And I gave him a proposal, and I thought we had talked about the budget. I had talked to one of his colleagues about a budget, and I guess it didn't get translated. So when I sent him the proposal, he just about flipped out at how much it was. And I sent him a handwritten note and said, you know, I'm, you know, I really would love to work with you if you, you know, if you get more budget. And I was hoping that something would come through. And he emailed me back and thanked me for the nice handwritten note and told me what his budget was. And it was less than a third of what my proposal was. And so, wow. You know, as much as I would love to do that, and probably a year or two ago, I would have totally done it for, you know, a couple thousand bucks. I would have done it. But I can't do that now. It's just, I would be probably resentful. And then when you're doing something for less than what you feel it's valued at, you feel like the client shouldn't have any say, or at least I do. Like, mm-hmm. If I'm doing a favor for a friend, it's kind of like you take what you get if I'm giving this to you. And that's not the right way to operate. So you know, I think you have to have your mindset in the right place and trust your gut a little bit too. Yeah,
absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, I think that's something that I think we all, and I think it's more common among women, is the difficulty saying no and not wanting to help everybody. And I've had a few people get kind of upset when I've turned them away. And well, Tara knows because I tweet about it, some of my crazy inquiries I get. So I think that's something that we could all work on, is just being better about saying no and standing firmly. But, you know, also, how do you say no in a way that's not, I just don't want to work with you because I don't like your project, which right. is hard to say.
And I've learned that from the community, because I think we've shared enough stories. People have put out in our Slack group, you know, about how to handle things like that. And there are some people who offer really great language and a really great way to phrase it that makes it easier to do, and you get encouragement from your peers to stand up for yourself and you know, charge what you're worth, and don't let yourself be treated poorly, and trust your gut, all that stuff. So it's great to have a community standing behind you and helping you with those tough calls. Yeah.
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 Well, I would
tap that.
No. Yeah. Well, Tara, I would like to thank you so much for being our very first guest. We're Yay. So happy
Thanks for having me. I'm
that
so
you could be here. Tell you. Everybody where we can find you online.
So I'm Tara Clays on Twitter, which is Clayes. And my website is designtlc.com. And also, if you're not all podcasted out, I have a podcast with Liam Dempsey called Hallway Chats, and we chat with people in the WordPress space and give them a voice to share their story, kind of similar to what you're doing.
And it's a great podcast. I've listened to it.
Nice.
And thanks for being part of our little community that we're trying to create here.
Oh, I'm 100% behind you guys. I think this is great. Awesome. Looking forward to hearing more.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Nice to see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.